Okay, we're on the telephone line with Mr. Myron Welch, the retired director of bands, professor of music at the University of Iowa. And Mr. Welch, this is Keith Bearden, international president of Phi Beta Mu. How are you today?
I'm fine, Keith. Thank you. Nice to
Wonderful. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Nice to talk to you.
Absolutely. Well, let's get started by asking a few questions on how you got started in band, like your beginning director, high school directors, or any other influential directors during that early period of your career.
Good. Well, first of all, I grew up in a small farming community about 100 miles north of Detroit, a town of less than 1,000. And for some reason, when I got to the fifth grade, there was a new band director in town. He was a Juilliard grad and a clarinetist. How about that? You know, what's the chances of that happening up in the sticks?
That's amazing.
It is. And he was a good clarinetist and got me started with a good start on clarinet. And so that's what how that started. And then I was taking private lessons all those years with him, and even when he moved to another small town away. And I was a pretty good clarinetist. And every year, this small county that I lived in, which only had one stoplight in the whole county, there were about 9 schools in the county, and they would get together once a year for a massed band, and I mean massed, 300 plus, with 8 bass drums playing together up on the stage and everything. You can just get the picture of that.
Yes.
And so my freshman year, I was playing first chair clarinet in the group, and who should happen to be the guest conductor but Harry Beegin.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool. And how old were you at that time?
I was a freshman in high school.
My goodness.
Yeah, when I was a freshman, and and that's what started my relationship with Harry, because I had a sister who lived in the Detroit suburbs, and he had mentioned to me, and while my private teacher, my clarinet teacher, had heard the Cass Band play at Midwest back in 57 or so, and told my parents I needed to get out of the small town, and he came by, and he said I could come to school in Detroit and pay tuition as a non-resident. So at age 15, I left home, went to live with my sister, and just so I could go to Cass Tech and play in that Cass Tech band. So Harry and I became very close during that time. We used to ride to school together. We had commuted together to school for about an hour each way. And he just took me under his wing and made sure I was doing the right things, and if it hadn't been for that little experience of sitting first chair in that 300-piece band, who knows what would have happened.
Fantastic story.
Isn't that something? I equate it to sitting on the stool at the soda fountain in Hollywood and being
discovered.
Yeah, so that's how I got
And so the college, did you stay at that one school?
In college, I went to Michigan State. And I went to Michigan State because I'd been to music camp at Michigan State for a couple of years and liked what I saw. And I was particularly fond of the clarinet teacher, Keith Stein. And when I got there, the first year I was in the very first class with Elsa Ludwig Vidaire. I was her very first class, and she was there on a sabbatical replacement. And then I went back to Keith Stein. But the other really influential person who was there was Leonard Falcone, was my band director in college. And he was a marvelous musician, as you know. And later on, became the subject of my doctoral dissertation. So I got to know him quite well also. So I stayed at Michigan State about at the end of my junior year. Michigan State decided that everybody needed a credit reduction. If you had X number of credits, you could graduate. So I had all these credits, and I was able to graduate after 3.5 years, which made good sense to me. I was paying my own way, and so I got out of there in 3.5 years. I graduated in December and started my master's degree right then and finished it by August. So I was just in school for 4 years for my bachelor's and master's degree.
Well, that's wonderful. And so now, so I was confused while I go, Cass Tech was the school, that the high school.
Yeah.
Okay. I just missed that. And that's when you went with Harry. Okay.
Yeah.
And then from Michigan State, you finished up in 4 years. And then
4 years with
you
my did, master's degree there.
Right. And then you decided to teach. And how did that start?
I was a clarinet, music ed clarinet major. But then when I did my master's degree, I changed to bassoon. I was a bassoon major then. And I did that with all intentions of learning how to teach, not perform on bassoon, but just weird away some of the demons of that instrument. So that, I thought that always helped me a lot, too. And then I started teaching back in 66. This is my first job out of college. I took over at Okemos High School, which is the bedroom community to Michigan State, very wealthy bedroom community there. And it was a big program. My first job out, I had two bands in the high school and the orchestra. And I'd had quite a bit of orchestral experience, string instruments in college, plus playing orchestrally for years. So I slipped right into that big job right my very first year.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a...
Did you have an assistant, or were you by yourself?
I was it in the high school.
That was it?
I was it in the high school, and I had a junior high director also, but that was it. It was a big program, big school, and big expectations. And one of the wonderful things about working there is my students had access to the faculty and the students at Michigan State. We
right.
had a very large private lesson program that they were right there. So, and that really, really helped. As you can
Did
see.
You recall your salary, your beginning salary?
Yes, it was. It was $6,400. And
well,
that included my
stipends. Pretty good for 66.
Yeah, that included my stipends, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
And do your students get a kick out of that when you tell them, or when you were teaching
yeah.
it up?
You know, our gratis quarter-time grad assistants get paid more than that now.
Things have changed a little bit. After that, did you stay at that one school, or how did you progress to Iowa?
I stayed at that one school for 5 years, and then after that, when I was in Okemos, Harry came to Michigan State while I was there. And his son played in my band, so it was a little turnaround there.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went to Illinois, and after he was at Illinois a year, he established the band conductor's internship program at Illinois and invited me to come as the first person in that program. And I did that, and I was received a fellowship in music education. So I went there as a music ed fellow and did my doctorate. And I was there for 2 years. I did my doctorate in 2 years. So, which means I only had a total of 6 years in school, period, which really, really helped to get out and get teaching. So after I finished at Illinois, I went to Wright State University in Dayton, Ohio, in 1973. And Wright State was a fairly new school. It was basically a commuter school with one dorm in the Dayton area. The school did not play football. That was when it started out as a branch of Ohio State and Miami University of Ohio. And being urban school, they didn't play football at all. So I never got back into the marching band field after high school. And it just happened. I really didn't plan on that happening. And marching band was never my forte, but I could do it. Not to the level that you do. I just didn't need to do it after that, which was fine with me.
Fall
was a very beautiful time of the year. You know, when you don't have to do that, the hardest job is the marching band job.
I found out that fall was a beautiful time after I retired.
I sure went through a lot of them, though.
Yes.
Good.
So when did you go to Iowa?
And then I came to Iowa in 1980.
1980.
Came here as director of bands when I was 36.
Mm-hmm.
And I taught here for 28 years and retired in 2008.
A wonderful career.
It was great. It was just great for me, and I just feel so fortunate to have had the opportunity to teach at that level and have all those fine players and be able to play that music. I would have never thought it.
What changes over the years of your career have you seen in the band world, positive or negative, or current trends, anything like that you want to speak to?
Sure. I've seen quite a few changes here. In the public schools, I see, from when I started, a lot more help. You know, people have a lot of a better, bigger staff that helps people a lot.
Yes.
And I think that that's very good. We used to have a full day where most of my colleagues around would teach high school, junior high, elementary, and maybe an English class on top of it. That they're just a little more specialized right now. The other changes I've seen with the more competition in the marching band area, and you know what that leads to, and more in the jazz band area, and it requires more expertise in special areas, and that's where that staff can come in very handy. There's just much more to learn and a lot to keep abreast of. So that's some of the big changes that I've seen come about.
What about, if you look back over your career, what would be a personal highlight or two or three highlights?
The big highlight of my career was my last year when we had a great concert at Carnegie Hall. And the school got together and backed that trip, and it's something that was really, really special to get to New York in that beautiful auditorium and play. That's really a good one. Some other highlights. One of my early highlights, clear back when I was in high school, we played at Midwest, the Cass Band. I can still remember that clearly. It's a big highlight there. So at that final concert at Carnegie Hall, my year of retirement was really special. And the other highlights my career were the professional affiliations. Being president of the American Bandmasters Association was a real thrill. That was very nice. Being president of the Iowa Bandmasters Association and a lot of other just honors like that that I really felt was just so nice of people to recognize that. And I was just so happy that I could help. I was just happy that I could help the young teachers in those roles.
Right.
Yeah.
Anything you would do differently?
I never tried to get out of, you know, I never tried to preach from the ivory tower. I always thought I was just an overachieving high school band director.
Right. Yeah. I don't think there is an ivory tower in our field.
Well, if you try to climb that ivory tower, someone's going to shoot you down pretty soon.
Absolutely. And you learn that after your first year of teaching.
Yeah, rightfully so.
You're not going to be the best one out there all of a sudden, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
What did you... go ahead.
Now, one of the other things that that I've seen happening nowadays is the budget cuts are happening. And I... many schools, some of them are dropping staff around here, and I just hope we don't get back to too many schools with the way it was back in the 50s when the band director was teaching vocal, you know, that sort of thing. But the budgets are a problem.
Right.
And the other big thing is all this, which I think is a real negative, is all this... technology accountability scene. I've seen the new teachers just be completely overwhelmed with all the record keeping and all that sort of stuff. I just don't know how they have a chance to continue to learn.
Right. You know,
they're just inundated with that stuff.
I hear that from my wife quite often.
Oh, I bet you do. Yeah.
So is there anything differently you would do if you could change anything back over your career? This would be some advice, too.
I'd probably find it'll carve out a little bit more time to keep up on my instrument. We all get specialized in what we're doing and teaching or conducting and or conducting learning, but... it wouldn't have hurt if I would have kept on my instrument a little bit more.
Yes. I was able to do that through the faculty brass quintet. But
oh, sure.
As soon as I got out, I missed the playing. So that is important. And then because you're teaching, you want to be a role model and perform. Is there a favorite composition that you had over the years?
I've got a few of them here that I'm really... Yeah, the Posey's got to be right up there.
Right.
The Posey and the Hindemith. You know, I have such fondness for the Hindemith because I remember it back from my high school days. I played on that recording with a cast band of the Hindemith back in the 60s, early 60s right there. That and Maslanka 4, those are really highlights for me. There's a bunch of others, but those are ones that really stand out for me.
And those are common. Most everyone mentions those, at least two or three.
Yeah.
So you've mentioned, of course, Harry Beejan. I don't know how you could get much better than the old masters that were during your early days. Are there any others that you were looked up to? You said Falcone.
Well, Falcone was really... really influential there too. And I didn't go to Michigan, but I was certainly around Ravelli a bit. You know, going to his concerts and watching him and just listening and take that sound in. I think that's really important.
That brings us to the next question, what helped you most in those early years and throughout your career? And I would agree that listening to others and learning, but what else would you say to that?
Oh, look, the other thing that really helped me early in my throughout my career was other directors in the area, trying to find the people who were successful, the other high school teachers, and really picking their brains and using them as mentors. And I had a couple other people. As I said, I was in that bedroom community, East Lansing, and I had my first year teaching, my president, my band parents, was Bill Moffitt.
That's right.
You know, and his sons were my drum majors. And he was very helpful to me. He had all these arrangements that he had made in high school with two trumpet parts, all this stuff, which really fit my group well. He was very helpful with that. And later on, my last president of my band parents was Ken Bloomquist.
Mama.
Yeah, and his daughter was playing in my orchestra. So I had a lot of good people around me that I could lean on pretty hard.
Well, if you don't have those people, you go find them.
Oh, yeah, I would. Yeah.
Absolutely. So what would you want to tell young directors just beginning their career other than that piece of advice you just gave?
Sure. Well, I think they need to concentrate on developing their philosophy with the concert band at the center of their curriculum. And I think that's really important. And I think they have to go on to develop expertise in one area, but be good at the others.
You know, I totally agree. Yes.
You know, you can't just kiss them off, but you've really got to be good in one area. And don't spread yourself too thin. I think that's one of the reasons I've been able to have some success here. I always had someone else to do marching band when I needed it, and I never had to do jazz band, so I could concentrate on the concert band area, and I think that really helped.
Oh, absolutely, no doubt.
Yeah, but if some, and there are other people who did jazz band a lot better than I did because I couldn't do it at all, and there are other people who did marching band so much better than I did, and just got them to do the job and get good assistance. The other thing, you need to find good role models and mentors to emulate and seek help from successful teachers, as I was saying before. Try their methods. You know, if you see something that works for somebody else, try it. Use it. You know, you don't have to do everything.
Right. And, well, that leads us really into the last point on here. Is there anything else that you would like to discuss, to speak directly to young teachers or even teachers who are out there working right now?
Yeah. Keep learning. You know, some people just, I always told my kids that when they got their degree, that was only a license to continue to learn. That didn't mean they knew much, but it did allow them to continue to learn. And I think everybody needs to get help with their conducting. And I think people need to study privately with a master conductor just as they did on their major instrument when they were growing up. You need to do that same thing with your conducting. The other thing I would tell people is listen to the major compositions, particularly orchestral compositions and choral compositions. I think that's the way you develop a sense of style, balance, your musicianship, and don't just listen to band music.
Good advice. And sit down with a score if possible.
Sit down with a score, and, you know, just learn these major works and find out what real music sounds like. Don't be seduced by the dark side.
Very nice. Well, thank you very much for your time today, and this will be posted on our international website, along with all the other outstanding bandmasters. And we really appreciate you being a part of this, and we were honored to have you as one of our outstanding bandmasters.
Well, I thank you for the honor, Keith, and the organization. This has been great.
Well, thank you, and you have a great day, and we'll see you at the next convention, probably Midwest December.
We'll see you then.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Be good. Bye-bye.